Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited you've decided to join me for this episode. Today, I am being joined by Kate. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily, for inviting me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. So let's dive right in, Kate. And why don't you introduce yourself and share a little bit of your story and how you came to be working in this trauma recovery space?
Yes, thank you. I was born in Ukraine originally and came to Canada 7 years ago. Didn't even know where to go, started from scratch, from zero, had my little daughter. She was six at that time. Lots of internal beliefs about myself, limiting beliefs, lots of patterns from childhood that didn't help, of course. But I didn't know at that time that I could work on them. I didn't know that there was a chance for me to, you know, to feel free, to feel better, to feel more inner peace. And so for the couple of years after I came to Canada, it was just the same, you know, just running, shutting down, suppressing whatever wasn't working, avoiding, victimizing, blaming, you name it. I had it all. And then the COVID happened, and for many people, it was a really difficult time, but for me, aside from being a difficult time, it was also a time to go inwards and to really look into that childhood trauma, into those patterns. And, you know, life started to unfold in a beautiful way, painful, uncomfortable, unfamiliar, but in a very beautiful way. I had my son at that time already. He was 1 year old. And so my children became, I would say, like the mirror, you know, of everything that wasn't working in my life. You know, they reflected that, of course. And so I looked at them and was like, wow, am I a bad mom? Or am I not parenting the way? And so I started to look for ways how I can help them and found out that I need to help myself first. And that's how I came to hypnotherapy. Because I loved the fast, the more rapid method of accessing the subconscious programming, the trauma. And I thought maybe because I was running all the time, I always looked for faster ways, you know. And it turned out to be a beautiful way for me. And I decided that I do want to work in that field and I do want to help others with that same issue. Yeah. So that's how I became a hypnotherapist. Found school, studied, and here I am. Yeah.
It's so interesting how our children become a mirror of all of the things that we've been running from.
Absolutely. And they will always be, you know, even if we grow up and we didn't do that when they were little, they will still keep showing us. They will keep being that. Yeah, that mirror, and it's beautiful that they come to our world, and it's like a second chance. If we didn't see it before, now you can see it again.
Yeah, if you were unaware of it before, now you can be.
Yes, and it's like you cannot miss it, right? Like it's not, you will need to shut it down even more, you know, to suppress it even more, which is harmful for us and for others.
Yeah. So let's talk about the benefits of using a
a methodology like hypnotherapy for healing trauma. What are some of the benefits?
Yeah, so usually people with a deep trauma, where that trauma in the body and in the subconscious mind, because as a little child, we don't know how to process it. So of course it goes into that unconscious subconscious because we need to survive. So we do whatever we need to do as children to in order to survive. And then we grow up. And so all of these issues that we put down because we couldn't process, they start to show up in different patterns of our life, you know, relationship, motherhood, nurturing our children, building connections with other people. So it shows up. Either we are starting to be very fearful, worrying, anxious, or we actually avoid certain situations. Sometimes we avoid motherhood in general. And for some moms, it's they naturally feel like, okay, I will do that, right? But some women, they decide, I won't have kids because I don't want to. But sometimes, in the, if you go deeper, it's because of the childhood trauma. And so hypnotherapy works on the subconscious level, on those 90% of our mind. So who will benefit from it? People who have been in talk therapy for many, many years. For many, many years, and they do feel the shift, they do feel the improvements in their life, but they don't see the huge shift that changes the behaviors, the reactions, you know, the actions, the decisions that we make. And so they go a little bit deeper. They choose hypnotherapy to go deeper into the subconscious mind and to find out, what is it something that I don't want to see yet, or I'm afraid to see? And so we look at those moments, kind of rewatching the story of your life in order to desensitize yourself from those moments, because it's about the meaning we make. And you probably already know, right? It's about the meaning we make out of what happened. That meaning, I'm not worthy, or I'm not needed, I'm not wanted, I'm not important, I don't matter, I'm not good enough. All of them come from those experiences we had that we had no control over in childhood. Yeah. So this method is beautiful for people who feel resistance to change. They still, like, unconsciously, with, of course, not intentionally, still stay in that victim mode. And from that victim mode, it's very hard to parent intentionally, you know, to deal with serious conversations, to make some decisions.
Yeah, I agree. If you're stuck in your fight or flight triggered state, it's hard to parent. First of all, be present as a parent, and then parent in a calm manner. Because the moment that you approach your children and you're all anxious or agitated or triggered, they're going to pick up on that and they're going to reflect that. Like we were saying earlier, they're a mirror. They will shine a flashlight on all of the things that you've been hiding, running from, repressing, whatever it may be.
Exactly. And moms, what I've seen, and sometimes I read some Facebook groups, you know, and moms say, well, what's wrong with my child? What is wrong with my child? Like, can someone, where is the best therapist? Where is the best doctor? Give me a recommendation of the best, because I can't deal with her, or I can't deal with him anymore. Yeah, right. And if we do a little turnout with that mom, and say, let's turn it around on you. I can't deal with my child means that I cannot deal with myself. I cannot understand my child is because I can't understand myself. What is wrong with my child? What is wrong with my beliefs? What is my inner world? so what's, that I cannot connect.
Yeah. What story from your childhood are you reenacting with your relationship with your child?
The hardest one, because I grew up in Ukraine. So Ukraine had pretty strict standards for raising kids, right? Everything, like, emotions were not that much expressed. It's not that I wasn't allowed to express emotions, but no one knew how to deal with my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I had to keep them in, because mm-hmm. I realized very early that, well, what's the point? If it's not going to be, it won't help. Mm-hmm. So I started to keep it in. And so when I saw my child, of course, not keeping it in, because our children,
they don't.
They don't, right? They want to be free. I brought her to Canada, brought her to the more free society at that time, because I wanted for her to, okay, like, look at all the opportunities. And of course they grow up they feel it. Oh my goodness, everything's available to me, you know? And my daughter started to show her emotions, you know, and I didn't know how to deal with them because I didn't have anyone to show me the way to deal with them. And so what it was shutting down, manipulating my child, right? Controlling. So that was my pattern, the same pattern. Stop talking. It's not your time to talk. You know, why are you so loud? You're too active. Like, if I think about it, and if I really do step into those old patterns, I will feel guilt. Mm-hmm. But because I know that it never helps healing guilty for our past actions, right? Then of course I won't feel guilt. But if I did go there and I look at all of that, yes. Mm-hmm. And I would step into those thoughts and go into my old Kate mindset. Yes, I would feel a lot of guilt, of course, for doing that. But I know that it was just my way of dealing mm-hmm. at that time. And so that pattern, the manipulating and controlling in order to shut down the child's mm-hmm. feelings. Don't talk. Don't be that angry. Don't be angry. You're too emotional. You're overreacting. The child is never overreacting. They're just reacting. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was this pattern from childhood. Raising voice. Same, raising voice at my kids, because this was how my emotions were dealt with mm-hmm. when I was a child. So I was like, okay, if someone screams, I have to be quiet. And this mm-hmm. be quiet belief, it leads to us growing up as being afraid of public speaking, being afraid to step up, to stand up for ourselves, to build our boundaries, right? Because what? I need to be quiet.
Yeah. I need to be invisible.
Invisible. Yes. Yes, exactly. And so we have lack of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. We have lack of self-esteem. We don't believe in ourselves when we want to achieve something for ourselves, even if it's something we really, really love. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have this hobby or this amazing idea that we believe will turn out into something beautiful. But no, we need to be invisible. So if we do step up into our full potential, we will be visible.
Yeah, and that's scary as all get out.
Yes. So we sabotage. Mm-hmm. We wait. Yes. So that was how I was showing up as mm-hmm. a mom. The first 10 years of my daughter's life.
So what are some of the first steps that you took to flip that?
Yeah. The first realization that came is that it's not about my daughter at all.
Nope.
It's not about her at all. It is about me. And it is the way I react. It is the way I see myself, my relationship, my daughter. So, and my husband agreed. When he listened to these all new concepts, he was like, yeah, he had his own patterns from childhood and I had his own, and poor child had to carry both of us, because he had his own thing. I had my own thing. And then what we come together and we parent this beautiful child, you know, with an overload of limiting mm-hmm. beliefs and patterns. And so the first thing is like, I have to turn inwards. There is nothing yeah. wrong with my child. There is something wrong with my inner world. It's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with me, but it's with my inner world, my inner beliefs, with my reactions. And that's how I started to simple YouTube videos. I started with simple YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Why children are angry. Why kids don't listen to us. And you know, you come across some controversial videos, of course, but I was 33 at that time. I could definitely filter what did mm-hmm. resonate, what didn't. And then at some point I come to these beautiful videos when they explain, well, they reflect your inner anger. Mm-hmm. They reflect your energy. Mm-hmm. That started to be, so I started to create that space between the trigger and my reaction. Mm-hmm. So my daughter, for example, my daughter got angry or frustrated or she didn't want to do something. So I created a space. I was like, before I react, mm-hmm. I'm just going to stop. That helped a lot. It wasn't always a success. It was a good learning curve. But at some point, and then the second realization is to be honest with my child. At yeah. some point she was 10, she was very mature, and she, I felt that she was ready to hear the truth. Like, so I came out with the truth. I was like, Anna, listen, I do want to parent you in a different way. Completely different way as I parented you the first 10 years. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good. So I admit it. I admit mm-hmm. it. It wasn't with the guilt. I didn't want her to feel like, oh, mom, that's okay. You know, I didn't want her to feel guilty. No, I was like, listen, I realize that what we did to you is definitely not the way we should have parented you, but I want to change it now. We still mm-hmm. have so many years together. And I really don't want to let, what would you like to change? I asked her, that was the most, you know, the most light bulb moment, let's just say, for her. She yeah. was like, oh my mom is asking me like how I would love for her to parent me, you know? And I was like, just in simple words, what you don't want? And she said, mom, I don't want you to yell. Mom, I don't want you to criticize me. Mom, I want you to let me be myself. Mm-hmm. I want you to trust me. Like different things, you know? And I was like, okay, this is the beginning. Mm-hmm. If she's telling me that, it's exactly what I need to do in order yeah. to stop yelling. I am healing my pain. Mm-hmm. I knew where I needed to go in order not to yell, not to get angry. I needed to heal my pain behind that anger. Mm-hmm. In order to trust her, I needed to trust myself.
Oh, and boy, that's a big one.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then in order to listen to her, right, I needed to practice patience, maybe meditations, maybe something that will train my patience. It's a mm-hmm. skill. You know, so if she didn't love, she wanted me to listen to her more, to listen mm-hmm. to her, to be more engaged in conversations. It's like, okay, then I need patience. And it's a skill. And let's find courses. Let's find people who know how to do that.
Yeah.
And just little videos, just little meditations here and there. I tested, I sampled. It wasn't always that I found the way. No, it took time, but I loved the result.
Yeah.
I loved that. My daughter one day, and I think that this is very important for the audience to know, for moms who believe that, oh, if I start doing something with my inner world, therapy sessions, coaching, whatever they choose, that the children will follow right away, a little bit later.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight.
Yes. Why? Because they test you. They look, it's like, oh, mommy changed. Something changed about, like, she's trying to work, you know, on herself, but they not always follow right away. So patience, being patient that your child will follow. They are a little bit inert, just like our body. We start to change the thoughts and the body follows a little bit later. We change the beliefs and then the body heals a little bit later because it is more inert. So that's the same with children. They will follow later. So it was about 6 months until my daughter told me, Mom, did you notice you don't yell? And then you realize all the pain that you went through in 6 months, because it was painful. Uncovering everything, you know, uncovering, crying, and trying to work on those, on that belief system of what's right, what's wrong. That's what helped a lot. I looked at my daughter's like, and I was like, this is all worth it. All this 6 months, I'm gonna do it more. And so then you just, and then it's a snowball. You start to learn more about how to heal your wounds so that your child reflects and feels safer to express yourself.
Yeah. I think it is huge, and it's a huge shift generationally for us to be willing to go to our children and admit that we've made a mistake and what we did wasn't right, but we want to change it. And that is something that previous generations have not done.
No, and even if you ask.
Yeah, it's so healing, and it teaches our kids that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to say, whoops, I messed up, but I can make it better.
Exactly. Yes. It teaches them that you can change anything you want.
There's an element. Yeah. There's an element of grace.
Yes. Yes. And I think this is one of the biggest lessons that they learn. If they learn that everything changes, they can change anything. Making mistakes is not a bad thing. It's actually a liberating, it's a learning experience. It's amazing. You know, we learn more from the pain than we learn from the success. This is true. And so if they learn these couple of lessons, they're going to be fine. They're going to be great in their life. They will, no matter what happened, they will know that they can change it. So they're not stuck in that, you know, the child believes that when I go into hypnotherapy, it has regression therapy. So they go into some memories that are really painful. And so their strong belief as a child is it's going to be like that forever.
Yeah.
I'm stuck and it's never going to end. I'm doomed. Yeah. That's the depression where depression steps in, right? Because we start to feel like there is no way out. We are hopeless, helpless, and out of control. And so the child, because the child doesn't have that much of a critical thinking, awareness, consciousness developed yet, they only live mostly in sensations, emotions, in that subconscious programming. And subconscious mind doesn't know time, so they believe it's never going to end. So they have this belief, and very often we live in that belief, even when we grow up, I'm never going to be able to heal it. I'm never going to be able to fix it. This is never going to change. It's always going to be like that. I've heard very often adults saying that.
Yeah.
And of course I was like, and how do you think you act having this belief that it's never going to change? And they say, making it a reality. I don't look for other options. I really stop before I even try, because the belief, drives us.
Yeah. So how does hypnotherapy help to to access, let me get my words out here,
yeah.
help to access those beliefs that are written in absolutes in childhood and reframe them.
Yes. So when we work with the subconscious mind, it's not something magical or it's not that people are asleep or anything. They are in a light, relaxed state, just like they would when they go to bed and they still didn't fall asleep, but in the like dozing off, you know, mode. When they are relaxed, and it's just done with the little induction, the little relaxation, voice and guidance. And when they do, we go and look at those beliefs from the past. And when they realize that I formed a belief that it's six, being on the planet only 6 years, only knowing what a child would know at 6 years old, I formed the belief that I'm not lovable. At six, of course, every child whose parent leaves them at school in a class of 30 kids being completely scared, they might believe that, well, I'm not lovable if my mom drops me here. Yeah, and leaves me and I don't want to go here. Not every child wants to go to school, especially for the first couple of days. So they are scared. And so the child believes that, and then and we look at that and I was like, okay, but you're now 38. How does this belief shows up in your life now? Are you six? You're 38. What do you know now that you didn't know at six? And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter what kind of childhood you had. You're now in a completely different world. You're not controlled by parents. You're not abused by, if there was a huge physical, sexual, verbal abuse at home, you're not there anymore. You can change now. You couldn't at six, for sure.
Yeah, you didn't have control of it.
Yeah, but now.
But now you do.
Yeah. And so they, oh, yes. So is it still worth holding on to that belief? Having everything, the freedom of choice, the freedom of voice, the freedom of expression, the freedom where you want to go and what you want to do, is it still worth having this belief? And they say, no, it's not even relevant right now. It's not relevant for my 30-year-old personality. And so when they realize it, when we go into the healing part of the session, this is where we transform it, when they talk to their subconscious mind. I'm not six. I'm so much smarter now. And usually we connect to what good things they have in life now. And sometimes they don't have anything. They like, well, I'm all alone. I don't have anyone. I don't have any friends. Then we turn to themselves, but you have yourself. You know, sometimes we don't have anyone. Sometimes we only have our pet, our dog. And I was like, well, look at your dog. Isn't he or she demands your attention all the time? Because you are lovable. Because they do trust you. Because they do love you. Because there is nothing in this world that can change that you are worthy. Doesn't matter what happened. And so when they turn it to themselves, well, I have myself all the time. Yes, I don't have maybe yet a partner that I want, or maybe I don't have kids yet. That happens as well when women come to me, but I ask them, but you have yourself now. You can come back to yourself and build your life. You can live so many lives in one lifetime.
Yeah.
Because everything changes. You can start from scratch every single day. And so so we do these tools in order for them to change that belief that I am enough. I am a good enough mom. I am because I already did better. And you know what? Every single mom that comes to me and I ask them, what did you do better for your kids than what was done to you? And I've never had any client who would say, oh, I didn't do better. They all said, I did better. I told my child that I love them. I was at every game in school. I was at, like, you know, I tried to listen to them. So all the time we do better. This is the evolution, yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. That's the therapy is actually, right? Like showing them that, oh my goodness, I am not worthless. I did better for my children, even for my relationship than I did before, than my parents or caregivers did to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I love that. It's like hypnotherapy is a tool that helps you to remove the veil that trauma's covered your eyes with.
Exactly, that filter, you know?
Yeah.
You're just removing that little filter and Ooh. Looking at the world that, oh, there are so many options. And when we take that responsibility, when the mom says, it's about me, I'm changing myself, and my kids will reflect my world. And then what mom does is she takes responsibility for her healing. She doesn't put it on doctors, on therapists. Yes, those are a great guide. You listen to them. But it's my healing. It's my job to do the work. I listen to the advices, to little guidance, to little, you know, I take programs, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's my responsibility to heal. No one can fix me but myself. And that's
amen.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that's beautiful for moms. They feel, oh my God, but I have so much power now. Now my healing is in my hands, which is like, wow, I do have power. I'm not, I'm not hopeless. Like my healing doesn't depend on a good certification of a therapist or a good certification of a doctor or a good experience of another person. No, it's a great guidance, but my healing is here.
Yes.
And you know, probably, right? Because you work with clients and you guide them, but it's their job to open the door and walk through that door.
Yeah, I can't do it for you, friends.
Yes.
I can only heal me and I can tell you what you might need to change.
Yeah.
But I can't do it for you.
Exactly. And people believe that, oh, that's so much responsibility. This is so hard to be responsible for your own healing. But it's the opposite. It's so much power. So much control you have. Full. Because it's in your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can our audience connect with you and work with you if they're a little bit curious?
Yes, I do have a website. It's katesemenyuk.com. I'm very active on social media. They can find me on Instagram, kate.semenyuk. And then they can find me on Facebook as well. I have a YouTube channel that they can watch. They can contact me through so many different sources on these platforms. There is a very easy way to find me. Just Googling it and my website will come up for sure. And so they can just contact me through my phone, through my email, through the contact form on the website. Yes. And I'm starting a 6 weeks program soon. That it's for women to really, really love themselves. The program is called You Are Love. So we'll have a lot of hypnotherapy audios to go through traumatic experience, to heal it, to talk to their mind. So they can definitely look into that as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Kate. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And I look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. It was a pleasure to be and share everything I know with your audience.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.